Coming up today, Pastor Ray Bentley points out the importance of obedience in our life of faith.
Someone has said obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. You want to know more? Obey more. The more you obey, the more your eyes will be opened. The more you obey, the more divine, supernatural revelation you will have. The more you obey, the more the supernatural would become the natural part of your life.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Quid pro quo is Latin for you do something for me, I'll do something for you. It literally means what for what, or this for that. Today, Pastor Ray points out we see that dynamic in the way the Lord gives generously to us if we're obedient to Him. Well, see, obedience unlocks the supernatural.
Mark 11, verse 27, three quick stories, great insights by Jesus to us as he disciples us. So Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, it says, "Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, 'By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?'" And you remember, what had Jesus just done? And why are they asking him this question? And we talked about how Jesus came in to the temple area, and he came on lamb selection day, the day that they were to choose their lambs for the Passover, that coming Friday. And the first thing that Jesus then did is he went into the temple precincts and he upturned all of the money changers' tables. He threw everything. Coins are flying everywhere. And he cried out, "My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves." And we talked about what that meant, that it wasn't wrong that they were there. They were doing the right thing in the right place, but they were gouging the people. They were taking advantage of the people. And so in preparation for Passover, you had to cleanse your house of all leaven. Leaven is a type of sin. Jesus came to the house of God, the house of God's temple, the Temple Mount, and he is cleansing it on that day in preparation for the upcoming Passover. So after doing that, all the spiritual leaders there, they come to Jesus and they say, "Who gave you the authority to create this scene and throw the money changers' tables and all the rest? By what authority do you do these things?" Verse 29, "But Jesus answered and said to them, 'I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things.'" Here was his question. "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe John?' But if we say from men," oh, they feared the people, "for all counted John the Baptist to have been a prophet indeed." So they answered and said to Jesus, "Well, we do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Well, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." What a great answer. The word authority, as I mentioned here in your notes, is the Hebrew word smika. Everybody say smika. Okay, very, very good Hebrew. Smika, so they asked him, "What smika do you have to show that you have the authority to do anything in this temple?" And the Hebrew word smika means authority. It's generally translated into our English Bibles as "by what authority." But the Hebrew word literally means the laying on of hands. Who laid hands on you, Jesus? Whose authority was transferred to you? Hence, it also meant ordination. Who ordained you? Because you certainly did not get ordained by us. And so it means the laying on of hands, ordination, and the grant of authority. And Jesus gives a classic response in Jewish form by asking another question. I can't emphasize this enough to encourage you that many times we are asked direct questions by friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, and we always feel the pressure and obligation to immediately answer their direct question with a direct answer. But if we want to be like Jesus, how many of you want to be more like Jesus? Then you are not under the pressure to always answer a direct question with a direct answer. And there's a reason for this. You know, this was also part of the Jewish tradition and culture. But it's a way, I mean, the real thing is here trying to get to the heart of things. And sometimes, you know, if you just immediately answer their question, they're really not wanting you to answer, or they don't really care what your answer is, or they already know what you're going to say, and they are setting a trap for you then to say, so you're one of these or those, and they box you and they categorize you and they write you off, and the conversation is over. But when you say, they ask you a question, so what do you think about this? And they go, well, that's a very good question, and I would love to answer that question, but first I want you to ask you a question. And you come back to them with, so do you believe, you know, for instance, they ask you some crazy thing. Well, do you think God, you know, would do this or that? And so rather than answering directly, you might say, okay, well, let me start with this. Do you believe in God or do you think there is no God? And you know that for a fact. Well, there are a few atheists, but there are not that many. And most people will not say, well, oh, I know there's not a God and I can prove that there's not a God. And so they'll say, well, yeah, I kind of believe that, yeah, there is a God of some kind. So I would ask people when they say, well, how do you, you know, you believe the Bible is from God? And I go, yeah, that's easy. And they go, how can you do that? I say, well, do you believe in God? Well, okay. So then my next, once they say yes, then I say, well, what kind of God do you believe in? And then they'll give you whatever their philosophy. By the way, asking people questions is a great thing. Everybody likes to be a philosopher. Have you noticed that? So what do you think? You know, sit there listening, and they'll rattle off what they think, and they'll pontificate, and they'll philosophize, and I think this, and da-da-da-da, and go, wow, that's very interesting. Well, here's what I believe. Now that you've let them share, you have a right to share. Well, I also believe in God. But let me tell you about the God that I believe in, because I believe the God you believe in is too small to fit the category. And they go, what do you mean? You believe in a God that's so small, he created the whole universe, but he tried to write a book, and he just couldn't squeeze one out. I believe in a God that is not only powerful enough to fling the stars and the galaxies and the planets and the universe, but it was very easy. In fact, there's no hardness to it because the God I believe in is so big, he's all powerful, and it's easy for him to take men and use them as his instruments to communicate his thought, his mind, his heart, his will. And that's exactly what he has done. So the question is not whether you believe in God, but once you believe in God, how big is your God? And my God is so big. Let me tell you what he's done for me. See how the conversation has now just turned all the way around. So Jesus answers a question with a question. Now, let me just say that these elders, chief priests, and rabbis that have come up to Jesus are the official guardians of the law in the temple precincts. They are members, some of them, of the Sanhedrin. And I want you to know that they not only had the right to ask Jesus by what authority he was doing what he did, they had a responsibility to investigate anyone who claimed to be sent from God, including Jesus. So they're doing the right thing, and they come to him. But let me add this. These men did not have open minds. In fact, they did not have sincere questions. They were not really seeking the truth, but they were seeking a way to trap Jesus and to get rid of him and to destroy him. So Jesus then turns the thing around. He asks them a question. Well, what do you say about the authority, the smicha? By what authority did John the Baptist, John the prophet, speak? Was he from God or was he not? And I think this is very powerful because what Jesus is basically saying, they're kind of trapped. Now instead of him being trapped, they are trapped. Because the people all believe that John was a prophet sent from God. And if they agreed, and they said, yes, we believe John the Baptist was definitely a prophet sent from God, all Jesus had to say then was, well, then why didn't you believe in him? Because the one you just said was sent from God, pointed to me and said, follow him, and pointed to me as the Messiah. So if they said, well, no, John is not from God, all the people who are standing there listening who thought he was a prophet, oh, there would have been, it would have been dangerous for them in the Temple Mount to say publicly, because they were in a public place, no, John was not sent from God. So they were trapped. So they came back to Jesus and said, well, we can't answer your question. He goes, oh, so now in front of all the people, they won't answer my question. Why should I answer theirs? Everybody, why? So they agreed, and Jesus makes the point.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now here's something that I want you to notice, though. God had sent John the Baptist, who had taught something powerful in preparation for the Messiah, and they had not accepted it. And we learn this principle. God does not teach us new truth if we have rejected the truth he has already revealed. All right? God had sent John the Baptist, and God had done mighty, powerful things in piercing the people's hearts, bringing them to repentance. And if they had accepted that, then they could have accepted Jesus as the Messiah. But in that they did not accept him, God was basically saying that I'm not going to give you any more truth. If you want to grow, how many of you would like to know more about God, more of his name and character and power and presence and his calling and all the blessings he wants to do in your life? And sometimes we reach a point where we go, why do I feel like I'm stalled? And it's because we have not believed what we've already learned, or we're not obeying what we already understand. Someone said, well put it this way, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me, it's the things I do understand, but have not yet applied to my life. So John chapter 7, verse 17 is in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. So basically, that's quoting Jesus. Anyone who wills to do the will of God will know concerning the doctrine, if it is from God, and whether Jesus is speaking on the authority of God in heaven. In other words, if we want to grow in more spiritual knowledge, we must obey what we've already learned. Someone has said obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. You want to know more? Obey more. The more you obey, the more your eyes will be opened. The more you obey, the more divine, supernatural revelation you will have. The more you obey, the more glory you will enter into. The more you obey, the more the supernatural would become the natural part of your life. The Jewish leaders had not accepted the teaching of John, so why would God offer them anything new or anything more? It's also important to note these leaders were not asking what is true or what is right, but what they were really wanting to know is what is safe. John the Baptist was not safe, because they could not control him. God did not want John the Baptist controlled. In fact, John the Baptist wasn't even there in Jerusalem, because all of the priests who were there, by and large, were not leading the people closer to God. They were living lives of compromise. And so the Lord took John and he said, I don't even want you to go there to Jerusalem. Go out into the wilderness and start preaching to the sand and the dunes and the hills and the rocks and the animals. Preach to them. And John did. And we don't know how did John go into the wilderness? That's what the Bible says he did. He started preaching to the wilderness, and then people started to go. It seems that maybe there were a couple of people. I'm thinking a couple of people that are just, maybe they're hiking. They like to hike out in the desert. And they go, and they go, do you hear somebody yelling over there somewhere? And they seem quite excited, but there's like nobody here. So they walk over this little rise, and here's John the Baptist preaching to the heavens. Heavens, praise him! God is worthy. He has sent now his Messiah. Prepare, repent, get ready. And so they're looking at each other going, did you see that? Who's he talking to? I don't know. He was pointing to the mountains. He's pointing to the rabbits. I mean, whatever's going on out here. And they get a little closer. They start listening. And all of a sudden, John's eyes focus on them. You repent. The Messiah is coming. Prepare the way. And something supernaturally happens to them. They feel something like a sword pierce their hearts. They drop to their knees in the sand. They're weeping. Their hands are lifted. They're crying out to God. These go into Jerusalem and say, we saw a prophet from God. We have not seen this for 400 years. And he is preaching out into the deserts, to the rocks and to the hills. And the next week, you know, several dozen people go, and then hundreds, and finally thousands go. And it reaches a point where, like, nobody is going there in Jerusalem, and there's thousands of people going out to hear this John the Baptist. And the priests that were there in Jerusalem did not like that because they could not control that. And so the Lord works in mysterious ways. They did not want to know what is true nor what is right. They wanted what is safe, what is manageable, what is controllable. That is always the attitude of the hypocrite and the crowd pleaser. What is the safe way to go? But Jesus refuses to answer their question. Now look with me in chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. It says, and then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine fat, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on Jesus. They wanted to grab him because they knew he was talking about them. But they feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. They were upset. Jesus starts telling parables. Now this parable of a vineyard. And then he talks about a prophetic psalm, Psalm 118. He quotes that scripture. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is talking about the Messiah. So Jesus is saying to the religious leaders, you are rejecting the foundation stone. Imagine you've got the temple, you've got the city, you've got all the people, and they're all there, and yet this foundation stone, the cornerstone of the whole thing, is missing. And they say, well, what did you do with the cornerstone? We rejected it. We rejected it and we threw it over the hill. Do you know that there's actually a story, a legend in Jerusalem, that that's what happened in the days of Solomon? That in the early days, as they were building it, there was a stone that came up to the builders, and they said, well, this stone doesn't fit anywhere. We don't know what to do with it. And they threw the cornerstone over the edge of the mountain, and years went by, and finally they're ready for the dedication, and they go, oh, great. Well, then let's go to we'll do the dedication at the cornerstone. And they go, the cornerstone? You haven't sent that. And they made this mad search all over. And the foreman down below, he said, we sent the cornerstone at the very beginning. And the guys who were there said, oh, you know, we were sent a rock, but it didn't fit anywhere. So we threw it. We thought you guys made a mistake, and we threw it over the edge of the mountains. So they had a mad search for it, and they had to dig for it. It had been covered over with debris and dirt and weeds, and they picked it up, and they brought it back and set it into the corner of the whole building. And then there was a big party and rejoice. That's exactly what is happening here. This is what happened to the Messiah, that he was rejected. Now turn with me in your Bibles in the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 5. Because this is where Jesus gets this. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. It says, now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my well-beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press on it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done it in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. He looked for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. Israel, the nation of Israel, including its spiritual leaders, was God's chosen special vineyard on the earth. And using this story from Isaiah chapter 5, well known among the rabbis, Jesus is making points about that particular generation that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone of the whole building of God, the Messiah himself. And Jesus is saying that God has come now to this nation, this special vineyard. He's looking for fruit, but instead he finds oppression. He finds that they're making stumbling blocks to God. He finds that there is violence. The hearts of the people are not right. And now God has finally, he said, all of his prophets, some of them beaten, some of them killed. And now Jesus, the son of the owner of the vineyard, has come to Israel and he says, I can't find any good fruit. And exactly, they know that he's talking of them, and they are plotting within a few days to take Jesus, who is claiming to be the Messiah, the Son, and murder him and have him put to death. And yet, he belongs to God.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out the way the Lord spoke of the price he would have to pay. And Pastor Ray has more to come from this study here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled Great Insights. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you get there, under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his latest book called The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full series called The Elijah Chronicles. And RayBentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.